Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on with the life of David, getting close to the end of it. We're in 1 Kings, first chapter, and we've seen that David is aged. He is old, and he can't stay warm. And so they brought a young lady in to keep him warm, to serve him, to take care of him. His son, Adonijah, which is the oldest son of all the sons that he has remaining, has decided that it's time for him to become king. And he declares himself to be king, and he gets men running before him with chariots, and he sacrifices at the serpent stone. That's weird. And he invited all of his brothers, the king's sons, the royal officials, all the people that were supporting him, he invited to come to this event where he was going to declare himself to be king. But he didn't invite Nathan the prophet or Benaniah, who was over David's bodyguards, or the mighty man of David, or Solomon, his brother, Adonijah's brother, David's son. So we pick it up, verse 11. It says this, then Nathan, remember Nathan's the prophet who supports David. Then Nathan came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and said this, have you heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? So this gives us some insight and some things right here. In the eyes of Nathan, and in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the one that he was inviting and gathering together, he was king. That it was time for him to be king. Did they think that David perhaps had died? It had been announced yet? Well, whatever it is, they assume that he is now the king apparent. And so Nathan is asking Bathsheba, hey, have you heard this? Verse 12, he continues, now therefore come, let me give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son, Solomon. Whoa. So we've been reading this, and, you know, as I've said, it sounds like a palace intrigue. It sounds like family squabbles, this and that. But now we realize the seriousness of it. He's saying, hey, I need to tell you something right here. Have you heard this? I need to give you some advice, and this advice is going to save your life and save the life of your son. In other words, it is that type of threat to them. Adonijah continues on and is acknowledged as king. So he tells her what to do, verse 13. Go in at once to King David and say to him this, did you not, my lord the king, swear to your servant, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then is Adonijah king? So Nathan is going in and saying to Bathsheba, hey, you need to go in there and ask him these questions and remind him what he said to you. David had told Bathsheba previously that Solomon is the one who would be king. God had revealed that to him, that he would be the one, and he had told that to her. So now Nathan said, hey, you need to go in there and say, hey, didn't you swear to me that Solomon would reign after you and that he would sit on your throne? If that's true, then why is Adonijah king? Well, they knew that he did not know that. So this is their way of letting him know what's going on. Verse 14. Then, while you are speaking with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words. So this is Nathan saying this in verse 13, 14. He's telling her what to go in and say to the king. And then he's saying, while you're still speaking with the king, I'm going to come in and I'll confirm the word that you're saying. Verse 15. So Bathsheba went to the king in his chambers. Parenthetically here, now the king was very old, and Abishag, the Shunammite, was attending to the king. Verse 16 now, Bathsheba bowed and paid homage to the king, and the king says, what do you desire? She said to him, my lord, you swore to your servant by the Lord your God, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah is king, although you, my lord the king, do not know it. So the wife could pull this off. She could say, hey, this is what's happened, and you don't know it. It's no fault of his. He's aged. He's old. He can't get out and about like he used to. He's actually being protected by some things, knowledge-wise. She continues on, verse 19. He has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army. But Solomon your servant he has not invited. And now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come to pass when my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be counted offenders. So what's she doing? Well, she's doing what Nathan the prophet had told her to do, right? But then she's building on it because she realizes what's going on. And she's simply saying this to him. David, it's time to pass the baton. It's time to let all of Israel know who your choice is for king. It's time to let them know who is the one who is going to come after you. If you don't do this, then it's going to be a free-for-all. If you don't do this, Abiathar is going to be king or somebody else. And regardless of who it is, me and your son Solomon will be counted as offenders. We will be killed. We will be executed. Verse 22, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. And they told the king, here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the king, he bowed before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, the king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me and he shall sit on my throne? So Nathan puts it in the form of a question. He continues, for he's gone down this day and has sacrificed oxen, fat and cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons, the commanders of the army, and Abiathar the priest. So he fills in a little more of the blanks right here that Bathsheba left out of who is on his side. And behold, they are eating and drinking before him and saying, long live King Adonijah. So he lets David know who has sided with Adonijah. Then verse 26, he lets him know who's still with him. But me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he is not invited. Nathan continues, has this thing been brought about by my lord the king, and you've not told your servants who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? In other words, he's saying, hey, have you decided that he's going to be the one, that Adonijah is king because he's down there taking it and he's saying he's the one the king? Have you done that without telling us what's going on? Then verse 28, then King David answered, call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. So she must have been talking with him. And then when Nathan the prophet was announced that he was there, he sends her out. Nathan comes in. Nathan says that, and he says, okay, call Bathsheba back in. And then he says this, verse 29. Hang on to this. And the king swore and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, Solomon, your son, shall reign after me. And he shall sit on my throne in my place. Even so, I will do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, may the Lord, King David, live forever. David said, I'll pass the baton today. I will do this today. Boy, can you imagine what all was happening in the midst of this? Well, my time is up. We'll look at the balance of the story in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.